ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिके। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंडो 11 चैप्टर 18 Title: Description of Varnashrama Dharma. Text 29. Budho Balaka Vat Kridat Kushalo Jadavat Charet Vaded Unmattat Vidvan Gocharyam Naigamas Charet. बुधो बालकवत् क्रीडेत् कुशलो जडवच्चरेत् वदेदुन्मत्त वद्विद्वान् गोचर्याम् नैगमश्चरेत्। बुधो बालकवत् क्रीडेत् कुशलो जडवच्चरेत् वदेदुन्मत्त वद्विद्वान् गोचर्यानैगमश्चरे। बुधो बालकवत् क्रीडेत् कुशलो जडजत्वच्चरे। वदेदुन्मत्त वद्विद्वान् गोचर्यानैगमश्चरे। Matajis, Buddha, although intelligent, Balakavat, like a child, oblivious to honor and dishonor, Kridet, he should enjoy life, Kushala, although expert, Jadavat, like a stunt person, Charet, he should act, Vadet, he should speak, Unmattavat, like an insane person, Vidwan, although most learned, Gocharyam, unrestricted behavior, Naigama, although expert in Vedic injunctions, Charet, he should perform. Translation purported by disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: although most wise, the Paramahamsa should enjoy life like a child, oblivious to honor and dishonor. Although most expert, he should behave like a stunt, incompetent person. Although most learned, he should speak like an insane person. And although a scholar learned in Vedic regulations, he should behave in an unrestricted manner. Purport. A Parhamsa sannyasi, fearing that his mind may deviated by the tremendous prestige that people sometimes offer to a perfectly self-realized person, conceals his position as described in these words. A self-realized person does not try to please the mass of people, nor does he desire social prestige. Since the mission of his life is to remain detached from material world and to always please Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although neglecting ordinary rules and regulations, a Paramahamsa does not ever become sinful or immoral, but rather neglects ritualistic aspects of religious custom, such as dressing in a particular way, performing certain ceremonies, or executing specific penances and austerities. The pure devotees of the Lord, who have dedicated their lives to propagating the Lord's holy name, must very expertly present Krishna consciousness in a way pleasing to the mass of people so that they will accept it. Those who are preaching should try to make Lord Sri Krishna popular without trying to advance their personal prestige in the name of missionary progress. A Paramahamsa not engaged in distributing Krishna consciousness, however, should have no attachment whatsoever to public opinion. ओम अज्ञानतिमिरान्तस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकथा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरुं श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साक्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्ता राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते तप्तकाञ्चनगौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो विष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमाओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन् इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामो राम राम हरे हरे सो ऑल्दो मोस्ट वाइज The Paramahamsa should enjoy life like a child, oblivious to honor and dishonor. Although most expert, he should behave like a stunt, incompetent person. Although most learned, he should speak like an insane person. And although a scholar learned in Vedic regulations, he should behave in an unrestricted manner. Hare Krishna. So in this series of verses and a couple of chapters describing the Varnashrama Dharma. Now Krishna is speaking about the last one, the Sannyas Ashram. And specifically this verse is referring to Paramahamsa order of Sannyas. Yesterday Gauri Lastra was explaining there are four types of Sannyasis, Kutichak, Bahudak, Parivarjakacharya, then the Paramahamsa. So the Kutichak is the one who leave the family, but stays just outside the village. And for him, the food comes from the family still. And the Bahudaka is the one who rejects even the connection, that connection with the family, and he goes to beg for the food in the village. And then comes the Parivrajakacharya. Then Parivrajakacharya is a stage, at that stage that person thinks, means, you know, I am going around and just collecting food. You know, I am just only begging. You know, why should I beg or leave it? You know, I am not doing anything for the society. Then actually his life starts, means he started giving. What he has the only, the knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he gives that back to the society. So that's why that begging process is known as Madhukara Vritti. You know, there is a connection why it is known as Madhukara Vritti means. And if you, in Mahabharata, there is three types of vrittis has been described. The first one is Ankaraka Vritti. Ankaraka means the person who makes the coal. Okay. What does he do? What he does is he goes to the forest, he cut the tree, and then he burns it by certain process and make the coal, and he sells, and that's why he makes his livelihood. Means. Such a person, he is not like a foresighted person. He never intend to plant another tree for which he is cutting the one. He only just goes on depleting the resources. Most of us in this modern age or something comes into that vritti of Ankaraka Vritti means, where only we keep depleting the resources, you know, there is no contribution or planning for the future. Now people are alerted, you know, all these environmental problems and everything is coming because of that type of attitude. You know, actually even we can see that these three ways are the consumer, how a society thinks. And the second one is Malakara Vritti. So there is a person who makes the garland. So what he does, he goes to the garden and he cuts the flowers or he plucks the flowers. But he doesn't injure the parent plant. And at least he is beware or aware of, okay, tomorrow also I need the flower. So I need to leave the plant untouched. He doesn't cut the plant. So at least some type of sanity is there in his consciousness. So he is known as Malakara Vritti. Where the person sees the future also, at least immediate future. But when it's to Madhukara Vritti, what does the humble, the bumblebee does? He goes and take only a little bit of honey from each flowers. But along with taking that flower, honey from the flower, he also helps to pollinate. And so that there is more and more trees for even the future. So he is never depleting the resources or not. He is only just taking from the society. But he is giving back to the society more than what he receives from the society. So the honeybee is getting only one small drop of honey from that flower. But by pollinating that, it is helping them to sustain their existence. Yes, like. So that is known as Madhukara Vritti. So just begging is not a Madhukara Vritti, because many times nowadays we call it, okay, Madhukari, you will do by Madhukari means. No, Madhukara Vritti means you have to give back to the society also more than what we take from that person means. And many times our acharyas also explains, you know, like Sugadev Goswami stays only till that time he get the milk. Like, you know, they give more than what they get from that householder people like that. And then when he crosses that Parivarachakarya, then he comes to the Paramahamsa stage of sannyas. So the Paramahamsa is, he is done with all his material responsibilities, even he is done with his prachar and everything, he is satisfied. Now he wants to focus on himself. You know, and sometimes we call them like avadhutas also. So the present verse is describing about the character of such a person of avadhuta. You know, he may be, many times we may see that avadhuta is, you know, we call a person who is little eccentric, not in a normal place. But here in the verse we can see that actually they are supposed to act in that way. Even though they are expert in all the religious principles and everything, they act in that way. It's not that they don't know anything or they are foolish people or not like that. You know, they are actually in the topmost platform of spiritual realizations. But why they are acting in that way? Because they are afraid of something. Material association means like. So the topic of Varnashram is always confusing to a devotee means. Many times we say that should we follow Varnashram, only follow the path of bhakti like that. And even in Gita, if you see the third chapter, Krishna says that Name Parthasi Kartavyam Trishulokeshu Kinchana Nana Vaptam Avaptavyam Varta Evacha Karmani. O son of Pritha, there is no work prescribed for me within all the three planetary systems, nor am I in want of anything, nor have I need to obtain anything, and yet I am engaged in prescribed duties. Why? Then he says in the next verse that Yadiham Navarteyam Jadu Karmanyatindridaha Mama Vartaman Vartande Manushya Partha Sarvashaha. Forever, if I fail to engage in carefully performing prescribed duties of Partha, certainly all men would follow my path. Okay. See, in one side he is insisting of following the, he himself is setting an example by following the Vedic principles. You know, then he says that, don't disturb a foolish person. You know, Tana Krishna Vido Mandan, Krishna Vidna Vichalidhi. An intelligent person should not disturb a person. At least he is doing something. You know, so he should follow. You know, he is insisting on following and setting an example. You know, Logat, what is that? Loka Sankraham Evayam. You know, for the benefit of welfare of the people in general, a person does it. Yaddad Ajarati Sreshta Tad Deveda Rojana. Like that. So there is emphasis is given in following the principles which is given in the Shastras. And some other section we also see is that, you know, the opposite is also happening. Like even in the Gita itself, we can see that Krishna, in the while instructing Arjuna in the very beginning itself, in the second chapter, Sodharma Vabichapeshya, means he start with there in 230, that's 231. Sodharma Vabichapeshya Navikam Vidumarhasi. Like, you know, considering your specific duty as a Kshatriya, you should know that there is no better engagement for you than fighting on religious principles. So far he was telling that you are a soul, you are not a body, nothing to worry and everything. And suddenly he comes to this that it is your sadharma. You know, he's bringing again the Varnashrama principle that, okay, as a Kshatriya you have to fight. And what is the benefit? Yadricha Chopapannam Sargadvaram Apavritam means, you know, Sukhina Kshatriya means, those who get such an opportunity to fight, they get the doors open for the Sarga. You know, Hatova Prapsasi Sarga means, even if you are failure, and even if you are killed, you get Sarga, like that. You know. So he is, in 31 to 39, he is telling Arjuna to follow that Varnashrama system. Then apparently again, when it comes to 43, 44, 45, he actually criticizes them, like, you know, they say they are less intelligent people. Yami mam pushpidam vacha prapadandina vantita veda vadaratha partha na anyastiti vadina kamatmanasu sargapara janma karma phalaprata kriya vishesha bhagulam bhogeshwira gatim prati bhogeshwira prasaktana tayapakrata chedasam vyavasayatma bhukti samadhona vidhi. They don't get that resolute intelligence. Then he says that Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunya Bhavarjuna Nirdando Nityasattakto Niryoga Kshema Atma. And he is telling, just go beyond these modes. I know Vedas like describe so many things. I know Traigunya Vishaya Veda, you just get over of this Vedic part which is describing of the three modes of the nature. Means like, actually if you go deeper, you can say, and he is saying, Nirdando, Nitya Sattattu, Niryoga Kshema Atmavayan. That is actually a Paramahamsa stage, Niryoga Kshema. Well, Deva Vidya Bhushan translate, you know, Niryoga Kshema, the meaning, that person doesn't try to accumulate what he doesn't have, and even he doesn't try to protect what he has. So on one side, he started with Swarga, now he is telling even you go beyond that, you know. You may think like, no, then why? The Balda Vidushan asks the question, then why should we accept the Vedic literatures? Is it that we have to reject Vedic literatures? No. He is telling there are various type of people. And for, like as a father, Krishna wants every living entity to take up the path of devotional service. But it is not possible for everyone to take this path. Because for some people it is difficult. The lowest is the Karmakanda type of people. Where they think that yavat jivet sukam jivet, completely materialistic people, you know, basmi bhudasya dehasya punaragamanam kuta means, there is a logical question means, who has seen, you know, the rebirth and everything, you know, Whatever life you have, you enjoy like king life. Means you can live like a king. Enjoy. Rinam krutva, gridam pipet means. So that is the lowest category of people. But for them, if you tell that now there is an eternal world and everything, they may not accept it. For them, Krishna introduces, okay, you want to enjoy life? Yes, you enjoy. But there is a place where you have a more elaborate and prolonged, more enduring type of enjoyment. That is known as Swarga. Okay, at least some of the people, those who want to enjoy, because enjoy in this world, they may think, means if I am getting so much pleasure and Krishna, somebody is saying that there is something more. Like even in our own, we say that in a one counter, specifically, you have halwa here, but another counter, there is one more sweet is there. Some people feel, I already stand for 30 minutes, why should I jump? But some people still feel, okay, if I am getting one more sweet there, okay, better stand there. So at least some people will jump over the line. So some people comes to the, at least to accept the Vedic literature, Swarga is there, okay, let me try and go there. Then they start following the Vedic principles. Means. But once they reaches there also they say, yes, there is endurance is there and more pleasure is available. But the main problem is not sorted over there. Means. Again there is, Mrityu is there. There is problems. We keep hearing how Indra is always fearful of somebody else coming and hatching away his possessions. Like that. So Niryoga Kshema. So then the person slowly then comes in the path of spirituality, the Vedic scriptures. Then after seeing that even Swarga is not what we want, then Krishna speaks about the eternal spiritual world, Vaikuntha. Now his problem is not the enjoyment. He is miserable with the other sufferings. Then he introduces the Vaikuntha planets are there. Why don't you come there? Then slowly is hand holding that person to walk from a completely atheistic or materialistic life to the path of devotion. So it has been given various stages. It's not that the entire thing is for one person to follow. You have to follow according to your level of understanding and which level you are belong to. So then Traigunya Vishayaveda Nistraigunya Bhava Arjuna Nirdanto Nitya Sattato Niryoga Kshema Atmavan. At that stage, Atmavan, Madhvacharya says Atmavan is very vigilant, is very careful. That we can see in a Paramahamsa life, they are very vigilant not to get distracted from anything else in this material world. We can see some examples later on. It's coming. Okay. He's vigilant. And then, he doesn't stop over there. And Krishna then again he says yadade moha kalilam buddhir vyatitirashyati tada gandasi nirvedam srotavyasya srutasya cha. So when you cross over all these things, it's a moha kalilam. When your intelligence is passed out of the dense forest of delusion, you shall become indifferent to all that has been heard and all that is to be heard. Means. Nirvedam, it is not that he is rejecting everything, he is indifferent. Then he introduces, he introduces there the spiritual world, that karmajam bukti iktahi phalam tektva manishina janma bandha vinirmukta padam gacchand anamayam. Anamayam is nothing but spiritual world. He is just introducing the concept of an eternal life, spiritual world. For that, what is the qualification needed? Janma bandha vinirmukta. You have to cut off janma. You have to come out of the cycle of birth and death. Then only you can reach that anamaya. So there itself we can see that. That's why Prabhupada and some of the previous sages says Gita is the condensed. What is it? Summary. What is the title? Means contents of Gita summarized. Means everything is given here in the second chapter in various forms, and then the later chapters are elaborating on that. So, from Swarga to rejecting all those things and to spiritual world, even that all everything isn't mentioned in the second chapter itself, like that. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a why Krishna is presenting things like that. Like he gives an example of Arundhati star, means how you want to show an Arundhati star to someone who doesn't know anything. So, he shows Can you see the brightest star or something? Like, you know, he takes the reference. Like, you know, somebody asks you, where is the temple? Means, ISKCON temple. Those who are familiar, they can understand, okay, KM on Srimarg. But somebody doesn't know, we say, you get down at Grand Road first. And then ask Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan. After coming there, then you ask, where is Hare Krishna temple? Easily you will be get the address. But if you ask somewhere else in Bombay, where is Hare Krishna temple? You may not reach here. So he's taking, slowly, slowly, giving a direction so that you reach the ultimate goal. You know. So everybody cannot reach the ultimate goal directly by giving the exact address. They need some, like, beacons or, what do you call, you know, some important buildings or something, you know, landmarks, basically. They need to understand where they have to go, which is more famous in that way. Then he is on saying that achala buddhi, then siddha prajna that comes. So then that person is become very steady. Then nothing can disturb him. So then such a person can practice what, you know, the verse here saying, so the nature of a Paramahamsa devotee, like. So does, so we can see from the Bhagavadam itself that there are various devotees exhibited these things. The case of the king, Lord Rishabhadev. On the first half of his life, he was actually insisting and implementing Varnashrama Dharma. And then, the later part of his life, he himself rejected it. And there is specific verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam itself, we are trying to implement, people are not following the Varnashrama principles. As a king, he was, his duty was that he was trying to implement it. But then later, he rejected it. Okay. Even apparently when we see the discussion between Ramananda Rai and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the first thing is, he says, okay, aho bahya, you go ahead. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself followed whatever is the rules and regulations of the social customs and everything, he followed it. And Prabhupada also himself, you know, he was also trying to implement the Varnashrama system. Because not everybody can directly take into the renounced order of life. Then what happens is, Karmendriyani Samyamya Ya Aste Manasasmaran. Then they become Mithyajarasa Uchyate. You know, immature renunciation will lead to chaos in the society. You know, everybody need, you know, their like, you know, they need to understand what is their level of faith and understanding, accordingly you have to act. You cannot imitate anyone else. So, Prabhupada wanted to establish even the Varnashrama system. So, in the story of Jadabharata also we can see that he was also afraid of the materialistic association. He says that tatrabi sojana sangha. Sojana sangha means even afraid. Chabrishram Uddijoma Uddijamana. He was totally afraid of even the Sojana. Not about others. But even on his family members, he was afraid. He was not cooperating with even his father. He was born in a Brahmana family, but his father was trying to teach him all the Brahmanical culture. He was trying to do him Supayanayana and Gayatri Mantra and everything, puja and everything, but he won't do anything. He was exactly showing the symptoms of like a childish person. Or a stunt, Jada. That's why the name Jadabharata itself is there. He was trying to avoid all those things because he was afraid. Why? Because Bhagavat Anugrahena Anusmrita Swapurva Janmavali. Because of the blessings of the Lord, he was able to remember Anusmrita Purva Janma, so Purva Janmavali. It's not just one, Janmavali Pura. Means he was remembering the entire, passage of his life. As a king, Jadabharat, he was following Varnashrama Dharma there. As a Bharat Maharaj, he was following that. And then he left everything, went to Vanaprastha life, but somehow he got attached to a deer. Then how do he settle off from the devotional service? And then again, as a deer, he could remember whatever he was happened in the previous life. And then he was staying at a hermitage of the sadhus, he was taking their association. And when he born as a Jadabharat, he could remember all those things. So he was very determined. Nothing to do with these people. Means, you know, Actually, we see that the devotees are not afraid. They are abhayam. One of the qualities of the devotee is abhayam. But we can see that here they are afraid of something, which we are not afraid actually. In 7th canto, Prahlada Maharaj says that, Lord, I am not afraid of your Ugra Rupa, means all the demigods and Brahmaji was daring to go near to the Lord to pacify him, you know, with red eyes and the tongue is moving like a sword and everything. He says, I am not afraid of any of your form or anything, means, but I am afraid of only one thing. What is that? You know, he says, Trashtos Mahaṁ Kripana Vatsala Dussaho Ugra, means, Samsara Chakra Kadana Grasatam Pranita, means Trashto, Trashtosmyaham, means I am afraid of only one thing, means Samsara Chakra Kadanat, means this material world, the association of the materialistic people is the only thing I am afraid of. And he is saying that he is not blaming anyone. He says that I am born in a demonic family because of only my previous karma, not anyone else was cause of that. Because I am born in a demonic family, I am afraid of taking the association of the people over here. Because I may also get dragged into that, if you are not careful in that way. So, materialistic people are not generally, they are not fearful, apparently looks like. But a devotee is supposed to be, like especially the neophyte stage, we have to have this serious consideration of actually fearing the materialistic associations. Because many times we are over enthusiastic and the name of preaching or other services, we may get little closer to the materialistic people. Then we may not realize it, how slowly it is getting affected our consciousness. And slowly we will be dragged down. So the examples are given in the Shastras. So if you read in the Purport, there are two type of Paramahamsa, they describe. So one is the Paramahamsa who is completely detached from the materialistic aspect of life. They don't want to do anything with the materialistic people. But then it balances that there are other type of certain Paramahamsas. They interact with the people. So that is the second half of the Purport. Says that they interact with the people, but in a different ways. Like we can see that Madhavendra Puri, even though we can say that he was the topmost Paramahamsas, Madhavendra Puri, that he was doing Ayachaka Vritti, means he never goes to ask food, begging for the food. If something comes to his son, he will accept it. And then there is another is Ajagara Vritti, which even he doesn't move at all. He stays at one place. Whatever comes, he takes. That is another type of Paramahamsa Vritti. But if you see, Madhavendra Buddha, even though he says that, Sandhya Vandana Bhadra Mastubodh Nana Dubhyam, I don't want to do all those things. But when it comes to chanting, Prabhupada writes in the Purport that even though a Paramahamsa, Madhavendra Buddha didn't give up chanting the holy names. So this comes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela. So this means that even in the Paramahamsa stage, one cannot give up chanting. Haridas Thakur and the Goswamis were all engaged in chanting a fixed number of rounds. Therefore, chanting on beats is very important for everyone, even though one may become a Paramahamsa. So we see that certain thing has been rejected from the part of Varnashrama. Okay. But certain things cannot be rejected at all at any stage of life. And the Prabhupada gives the example of Goswamis, Sangya Purvaga Nama, they are regularly chanting. Nidrahara Vihara, even though sometimes they even forget to take food and sleep and everything. So how can we understand? I was thinking, how do we, because Varnashram is not the goal, means the problem is that sometimes we get stuck up there. Varnashram is the goal. But it is a vehicle basically. The goal is something different, means Krishna Bhakti, Krishna Prema, that is one. I was thinking, what type of example we can give, to understand the Varnashrama. So the immediately came to mind was a rocket, which is used for taking satellite and other things, you put it in a higher orbit. Means, so if you are not familiar with the rocket, you know, you might have seen the pictures. You know, there is a one like, you know, stem like the main, and there is some boosters are around. So if you go into the principles of detail, you know, thing, that you can see that there are, you know, like single stage rockets and there is a multi stage rockets. So multi stage rocket is something like we can compare with a Varnashrama system. So the purpose of rocket is to take off against the gravitational pull of the earth. And then it has to act against the drag caused by the atmospheric, like the atmosphere, which is dense. It need a lot of fuel to consume it. So till early 40s, and late 40s and early 50s, people were not aware of the concept of a multi-stage. They were only using a single stage, but which was difficult to take off. It never used to go beyond a certain altitude. But then they found, they thought about and devised a mechanism in which they uses the heavier engines at the bottom stage, you know, and after attaining a certain altitude, that has been discarded from the main system. It has been ejected out. The stage 1. Generally, there is stage 1, 2, 3, or for some types, it is 4 is also there. So because the atmospheric conditions are different, you don't need the same type of engine to go till all the way. And your efficiency will go drastically down. So the heavier things, what you need, even along with the fuel tank and everything, they reject it down as soon as they cross a certain height. Like, you know, say 60 kilometer. Like, you know, if you are putting a communication satellite, it go up to 32,000 kilometers. So in the first few seconds, it reaches 60, 70 kilometers above the earth, it rejects it, it drops it off. It doesn't get attached to that. And then the second stage. Once it attains that velocity, it again drops the second stage. But all the navigational guidance and everything, it is in the last stage because it has to reach the final destination. So Varnashrama system is also something like that. Means, you know, it is a vehicle used to elevate your consciousness to the ultimate, you know, to attain the Krishna Prema. That is a vehicle, it is not the goal. But immaturely you eject your stage, what will happen? Your rocket will not take. It will collapse. It will go into the Bay of Bengal. Means, you know, it will only do. So we need to understand at what stage what to be ejected means. You know, just because somebody is ejecting certain things, that doesn't mean that you can eject. So it is not the problem with the Varnashrama system. It is the problem with our understanding. So if you see, actually the ejection is also, rejection is also part of the Varnashrama. Krishna is explaining as a Paramahamsa has to reject all those things. It is not outside Varnashrama. He is saying that you have to reject all those things. Then only you can go. You know, when you go up, you need to be lighter. If you have more responsibilities, it won't help you to take it up. Like that. So similarly, Varnashrama Dharma, also we need to take it as a vehicle, not as the goal. You know, that helps us. So at various stages, various things has to be practiced according to our conditions. Like in Madhavendrapuri's case also, Madhavendrapuri also, even though he was practicing all those things, people used to tell him also same things. In one of the beautiful words he explains that, Mugdham mam nigadantu niti nipuna, Bhrantam mukur vaidiga, Mandam bandava sanjaya jatadiya mukta adara sodara, Unmattam danino viveka chatura, Kamam maha dambikam, Moktum nakshamatapi manogavi mano, Govinda pata spriha. And he was also accused of same things like, Mugdham mam nigadantu niti nipuna. Means, he was accused of, like, you know, illusioned by the moral people. Means, Mugdham mam nigadanti niti. You know, and then expert in Vedic activities may slander as being misled. Brandam muhur vaidika. Those who are expert in the Vedic literatures or scholarly people, you know, they say that, okay, he is a misled, he is a crazy fellow, don't follow him. And then, my associates may condemn me as uncultured. You know, Mandam Bandava Sanjaya Jadadhiya. Jadadhiya means it's a dull-headed or stunt intelligence. Then, Muktadara Sodara. My brothers may, disrespect me. My relatives may disrespect me, but I don't care. You know? Unmattam dhanino viveka. You know? The wealthy mammonish may point me that I am a mad person. And the learned philosopher may assert that I am too much proud. But none of these things affect me or stop me either from the worship of Govinda, means taking the path of devotional service. Means. So that was his stage. But many times we may not be able to come up to that stage. So we can see even, you know, the recent like Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj, they were actually, you know, the topmost Paramahamsas. But externally, many people couldn't understand what they were doing. Means. And he is actually the embodiment of the renunciation. He only uses thrown away clothes, or some rejected, he drink water from the rejected pots, or he, you know, whatever he gets, sometimes even he says that he eats mud only, sometimes. He doesn't get anything. But he had a disciple who was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. You know, he actually begged for his initiation from him, but he was not ready to give. You are a very scholarly person, how can I give you? That he was trying to reject. And he said that in once, because of the being fearful of the material contamination, Gaur Kishordas Babaji was taken shelter of lavatory in some of the toilets in some of the place. And the people over there wanted to give him a better bhajan kutir. He locked up in the bathroom, the toilet. He said, better than, you know, like associating with the materialistic people, the smell of the urine and stool is better than associating with the materialistic people. Means. So they were so careful in that. Even Vamsidas Babaji. Means. You can't imagine what the way they were behavior externally. And he used to speak with his deities Gaur Nithai, means, and it is a non-fact that now he never used to lock his room. And many times his things were stolen. And what was his reply? He says, if they doesn't take care of their own belongings, why should I be worried? Actually, they are accusing of Gaur Nithai not taking care of his thieves. Actually, in one day, there were two pots in which he used to cook bhoga for Gaur Nithai, two copper pots. And one day he went for baking, and when he came back, two pots were gone. Somebody has stolen it. So Vamsidas Babaji told Gaur Nithai that, if you can't take care of this, I am not going to feed you. You have to get the pots back. And he also didn't cook anything. He also didn't eat anything. And the next day, early morning, somebody bought one other pot and kept back in his room. Then Vamsidas Babaji looked at it and told, oh, this is Nithai's. And he told Nithai, oh Nithai, your pot you brought back, I am going to give you bhoga today. And then he could only for Nithai, and then offer to Nityanand Prabhu. And Gauranga Mahaprabhu was looking at him. You know? I didn't offer to Gauranga Mahaprabhu that day. But then, by afternoon, later on, another person bought the other pot also. Then he told, yeah, Nimai, you also brought your pot. Okay, now I will cook for you. Now, this is a different level. And we cannot imitate those things. At one stage, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur used to send some of his brahmacharis to go and give him materials and whatever needed assistance and everything. At one stage he told the devotees, you don't go there. Then he explained to them later on that it is not that, you know, because his behavior is sometimes bewildering. You know, even devotees he won't allow to come nearby. He throws stones at them. He told, it is not that he is in Maya, because we are not able to understand his bhava. You may commit offense there. So there are two type of devotees in the Paramahamsa stage. Some are Goshtyanandis, some are Bhajanandis. So these devotees were Bhajanandis. They were engrossed themselves into devotional service to the Lord. But there are Goshtyanandis also, like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Means. It's very interesting to note that even though Gaur Kishordas Babaji was like to be in seclusion and everything, you know, but Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur was exactly opposite in externally. But in spirit, both were in the same principle. Actually, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur got three instructions from Gaurav Krishna Babaji Maharaj, means that he told never make any disciples. And second one was never associate with materialistic people. Never make too many associate with too many people. And never go to Mayanagari, basically Calcutta. But apparently you can see that he done the exactly the opposite. But then he explains that, you know, I never disobeyed my guru. You know, he explains that my guru told that don't make any disciples. So I never made any disciples. Actually, you are all sent by guru, and you are more qualified than me. It's actually all of you are on my guru level. And then second one, don't go to Calcutta, Mayanagari. No, he said, I am not going to Mayanagari. I am going and staying in Gaudiya Math, which is none other than Vaikuntha. Only an acharya of that stage can take that steps. So he was traveling with his associate on a boat crossing the Ganga. So he asked Bhakti Sansal Thakur that, see, your guru was very reclusive, silent and everything, but you are very vocal and aggressive and everything. How is it that, you know, how is that difference is? Right? Then he points out the engine of the, the boat, and says that I am like an engine which makes so much of noise and everything. And my guru is like that battery which gives that, the first initial spark. He may be silent, but I am making so much of noise and everything. But everything is coming from my guru only. Even though Vamsidas Babaji and others, they were acting like a madman, you know, less intelligent. Many times they speak incoherently with the public. But one thing we can see that they never spoke anything against the principles of, against the Siddhanta. Sometimes they apparently chase away people and everything. But internally only the devotees can see that, you know, they were fixed up in their devotional service. That way. And then we can see that even Srila Prabhupada, you know, by taking the instruction of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, so generally everyone at the last part of their life, they would like to take apparently less hectic lifestyle, peaceful, want to be in Vrindavan and do their bhajan. But at that time, Prabhupada actually left Vrindavan, for establishing bhakti, the devotional, the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They are acting out of their compassion. Yes. So in one of the class, Paramahansa Ratanath Swami Maharaj was telling that, in 1970s, early 70s, Vrindavan was not like what we see today. At that stage, at that time, Prabhupada had the vision and he planned, first thing he made was the very comfortable guest houses for his disciples. Now when you go to Vrindavan, you can see that so many hundreds of, hotels, even up to star hotels, you can see that resort and everything you can see in Vrindavan. But in 1960s and 70s, there were only dharmashalas, very meager accommodation facility, because people were happy with that. But when, by seeing that his disciples cannot be comfortable in those facilities, they need running water, they need proper toilet and bathrooms, and a comfortable accommodation. So he made those things. But it was not for his own pleasure, means. In Mayapur, we can see that pastime when lotus building was ready, the devotees were requesting Prabhupada to move in. He told, no, I am comfortable in this hut. But when the devotees told that, Prabhupada, when people, aristocratic people are coming to see you, so they may be caused discomfort sitting in this, mud floor and everything. Then he was ready to move. Okay, for the benefit of others, I will move. So even though these devotees, they are very exalted, they can actually be engrossed in their own bhajana, but for our sake they come out of their comfort zone, you know, to give us Krishna consciousness. We have to be actually grateful for that. But we, on the other hand, if we try to imitate someone of these things, then we will end up in trouble. Right? Recently, Sridhama Prabhu was giving Bhagavatam class on the same chapter. He was telling that ultimately what we need is an honest introspection about what is our need. We cannot decide our needs based on somebody else's experience. Your experiences is only matters to you. For that you need the honesty. At least you should be honest to yourself. We need to do the introspection at what stage and what I need, and accordingly you have to establish our, like, you know, unless and until you are materially comfortable, practicing devotional service is difficult for majority of the people. Except Paramahamsas like this. We are not at that stage. That's why Prabhupada showed making comfortable, like even interaction with Radhana Swami Maharaj about the Govardhanikwa village. And why we are making these things? That the city people, they, when they want to come here, nobody is interested to hear your philosophy if they have not been slept properly in the previous night. How can they hear it? They need basic level comfort. So we need that honesty to introspect what we need. Are we situated in a comfortable, like, you know, comfort doesn't mean that, you know, luxurious luxury. Bare minimum needs, what we need to maintain our body and soul together, means that much. That depends on various, depends, you know, each individual. So if we are not honest with ourselves, then that will be the cause of our insecurity. That's why people feel insecurity, because they are not honest to themselves. You know, they try to take up the position or the role of someone else, which they are not meant for it. So if we are careful, so we can also pass through all those things, and we can also eject all those things at the appropriate stage, not prematurely. That's what Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita also. You know, recently I was talking with Nanda Dulal Prabhu. He was telling that even if, and what Krishna is telling in the 18th chapter, means he's saying sarva dharman parityajya. He's not speaking to reject adharma. He's speaking sarva dharman parityajya maam ekam charanam racha. Again, that itself is a, like, you know, you can discuss for long even the inner meanings of that. But in principle, we can see that at various stages Krishna is giving various instructions. So we need, like, one of the acharyas gives, like, you know, certain principles, like celibacy is given for a brahmachari ashram. You know, that is a Vedic injunction. You have to be celibate. But that injunction cannot be applied in a grihastha ashram. Like in grihastha ashram, there is Agnihotra Yajnas has to be done every day, and there are certain things. That is not applicable for a sannyasi. So each individual has certain set of rules and regulations which we need to follow depending on our level of understanding. So if we are honest in our own attempt to understand our needs, you know, and accordingly we place ourselves and practice bhakti, then it is, you know, fruitful. At the end of the day, we can also achieve that in this very lifetime itself. Today is also the disappearance day of Abhiram Gopal Thakur. He's also one, you know, the, you know, close associate of Lord Nityanand Prabhu. You know, he was famous for his Jayamangal whip. And if anybody get whipped by that, guaranteed, Krishna Bhakti is guaranteed. Tomorrow we don't have any shortcut like that. Now we have to practice ourselves. And even he never used to give freely that, means. You know, once Janava Mataji sent Srinivas Acharya to meet Abhiram Gopal Thakur, means. So then Srinivas Acharya and Ishan Thakur arrived there. So Abhiram Thakur wanted to test them. Told, yes, he understood that Janava Mataji sent this boy so that I beat him with the whip so that he get Krishna Bhakti. But I wanted to test him before, whether he's qualified to take that before I do that. So then he gives 8 coins to Srinivas Acharya and tells, okay, now it's a meal time. You go and take bath and cook yourself. Now that is the way Earlier people used to do that, you know, they beg and them get something and cook themselves. So Ishan Thakur and Srinivasacharya went to the market and bought something with that, whatever they could buy, the matkas and the grains and other things, and then started cooking. So in the meantime, Abraham Thakur sent two other people, devotees, and told him that you go, when the food, the bhoga is ready and then they are offered and they are ready to take prasad, you go and approach them. And then come back and tell me what they are doing. What was their behavior like. So as instructed by Abraham Thakur, they all went there. So Srinivas Acharya cooked everything and offered it. There was no sabjis actually, only rice was there, something. So when they approached, so he actually fed them nicely. And they were sent back, and then eat whatever left he took. And these devotees came back and told Abhiram Thakur that, no, he was very cordial and he actually made us comfortable and served us nicely. Even though there was no sabji, it was so tasty. Okay. Then he understood, okay, he is qualified. Then when he came, he whipped him with his Jaya Mangal three times. And actually then Malati, his wife, came out, tell her, don't beat him, he is already a devotee, means, you know. It's a Chaitanya special, mercy of Chaitanya is already there, means. Like, another nature of, means, the quality of Abhiram Thakur was that whenever he pay obeisances to any, if it is not a Shaligram Shila, it will break into powders, means. He was also a very highly scholarly person, and people were afraid of him, actually, to deal with him, like. So today we can pray to Abhiram Thakur that actually he Gaur Ganadhar Srivika says that he is Sridhama in Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan Leela. He was very close with Nityanand Prabhu in Gauranga Leela. He was sent by, when Nityanand Prabhu was told to preach in Bengal, Chaitanya Prabhu sent. Actually, one of the people was Abhiram Thakur. So we can pray to him on his disappearance day that he also beat with his whip, rather than taking the whips of Maya. If he beats with his whip, we also get some Krishna prem. Thank you very much. Any comments or suggestions? Karandaraj Srimad Bhagavadam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you.